This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. In the studio with me, Dr. Lee Moon Kim. She's a consultant neurologist, and we're discussing a condition called neurofibromatosis. As I mentioned earlier, it's a condition, it's a genetic disorder that disturbs cell growth in your nervous system, and it causes tumors to form on nerve tissue. And there are two types of neurofibromatosis, and she's going to be explaining a lot more with me. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lee. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Lee, you just want to go through with me. I mean, neurofibromatosis. I know I've given the gist. It's a genetic disorder, tumors growing on nerves, but how do symptoms present?
Well, it's a big mouthful, neurofibromatosis. So we call it NF for short.
Okay.
Probably we can summarize it as a condition of spots, freckles, and nodules or lumps. So this is a condition where because the skin and the nerves develop from the same part of the layers of the embryo, they have common abnormalities. So on the skin, the markers are the café au lait spots. That's French for coffee with milk. So these are spots which are the color of light brown, like coffee with milk.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the freckles, which occur in the armpits and the groin. And then the most unwanted portion is the nodules, which are composed of nerve tissue. Those are the neurofibromas. The unfortunate thing is this group of markers outside the body may be the indicator of internal growths of nerve tissue, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a neurocutaneous condition where you have abnormalities to do with the nerves and the skin because they come from the same embryological layers in development.
Okay. And what are the conditions grouped under neurofibromatosis? I understand there's an NF1 and an NF2. You want to explain that to me?
You can identify two subtypes. The more common one is NF1, also called von Recklinghausen's disease, mm-hmm. after the German physician who first described it. So that's the most common. And then the less common one is NF2. So they have distinct features. NF1, you have the spots, the freckles, and the neurofibromas. And unfortunately, internally, people may have growths in the central nervous system, in the brain, also in the nerve sheaths, and the nerves of the eye, the optic nerve. So when these nerves have growth, then it leads to complications and paralysis and defects of vision and other parts of our nervous system. Type 2 is much rarer, and mainly the feature is tumors of the number 8 nerve, acoustic neuromas. And then there's a much rarer form called schwannomatosis, which is even less seen.
And that's the NF2.
The third one is schwannomatosis.
Okay, so it's NF1, NF2, and schwannomatosis.
Yes.
Sure. And is it prevalent in Malaysia, the condition?
Right. We have no figures, but there's no reason to believe it's any more or less common. In the States, the frequency is 1 in 4,000 people for NF1. And NF2 is maybe 10 times less common. So I did the maths. Maybe you can expect for our population 7,000 people with NF1
in the whole amongst
Malaysia,
Malaysia. Okay, and NF1 is sort of it presents in childhood and early adulthood. Is there a reason for that?
Yes, because it's a developmental problem. So as a child grows, then they may exhibit the careful early spots. Then as time goes on, a few more features may appear. And slowly, slowly, they may get the full spectrum of the spots, the freckles, and the nodules.
Mm. Have you personally attended to people who do have the condition, neurofibromatosis?
Well, the surprising thing is most of them are walking on the streets unaware that they have NF1.
Okay.
Because there's a huge range of severity. Some people only ever have the spots and the freckles, and maybe a few odd neurofibromas, and it's a minority that have the nerve growth, nerve sheath tumors. So not many come to medical attention. And then when they are diagnosed, usually they are clustered in the academic institutions. So I might see a case maybe once a year, perhaps.
Okay. And so are you saying then that if I do have the condition and I don't know about it, it's not going to affect me? Except for the fact that it presents, you know, on the skin.
Yes and no. You get the diagnosis from both directions. Sometimes a patient has developed symptoms pertaining to the nerve sheath tumor, and when they are checked, they are noted to have features confirming NF1 or NF2. At other times, a very vigilant parent may spot these spots on the child and then bring for medical attention where it might be ruled out or NF may be ruled in. So you might get diagnosed because someone spotted the skin features, or you actually have developed the nerve sheath tumor already.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do then when someone is diagnosed?
Well, if they're just spotted at the external marker stage, then that person needs to be assessed to see whether they have any internal nerve tumors.
Tumors, okay.
And if there's clinical features, we might arrange for scans to confirm or exclude these internal nerve tumors. If there is nothing, then we would reassure the patient and ask them to come for periodic review.
Mm-hmm.
If they already have the nerve sheath tumor, then one has to deal with it. If it is in a place where it might cause paralysis or other kind of deficit, then it may have to be surgically removed.
And these tumors grow?
They do grow very slowly. So most of them are benign tumors, but the literature says we have to expect 10% are malignant nerve tumors.
Okay.
Yes.
And in terms of diagnosis, what do you do? Is there a blood test? Do you need to do any specific type of test to diagnose?
Right. There are a set of criteria to go through. One has to look for the cafe au lait spots. You need to have 6 to be ruled in.
Okay. And how do you know it's just not a skin problem?
Oh, that's more. Then you look for the neurofibromas. So you need at least 2 for the criteria.
You just want to elaborate what a neurofibroma looks like?
It's a soft tissue lump on the external part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's a complex mix of nerve sheath tissue, fibrous tissue, and various other support structures. So it looks like a nodule. And sometimes it's dangling, mm-hmm. like a little grape.
Which some of us sometimes surgically remove for aesthetic reasons.
Yes, yes. So coming back to the diagnosis, one has to be checked to see whether you fit into a certain set of criteria using the cafe au lait spots, at least 6, neurofibroma, at least 2, whether you have nodules in the iris, that's the brown or blue part of the eye, depending on your race. And then the doctor would look to see whether you have family history. So if you have a certain minimum number of criteria, then we can clinically confirm it is NF, right? And if you have a parent with confirmed NF, that is a supporting feature. It's very rarely that we need to send for confirmatory tests, but there are gene tests available.
Okay. What are these gene tests? What are the genes that you're looking out for?
I had to check that up. NF1 is the defect on chromosome 17.
Mm-hmm.
NF2 is on chromosome 22. So the gene product is neurofibromin for NF1. It is a necessary protein for regulating nerve cell growth. So when it is abnormal, then nerve cell growth goes out of control, hence the tumors. So the NF1 gene is a loss of function mutation in that gene. So you need NF1 to gene to make neurofibromin, and it's not doing its job.
Mm-hmm.
So a parallel situation occurs for NF2, and the gene product is, believe it or not, called Merlin, as in magician.
Right.
Yes. So very, very rarely we might need to do gene tests, but it's hardly ever ordered.
Okay. Dr. Lee, neurofibromatosis is often linked to the Elephant Man. You just want to tell me, he was actually, well, there was a movie out, but the real person was Joseph Carey Merrick, and sometimes incorrectly referred to as John Merrick. He was English. He had severe deformities, who was exhibited as a human curiosity named the Elephant Man. But his was a severe form of neurofibromatosis. Am I correct? Because his face, he was completely disfigured.
Yes, indeed. In its most extreme form, people have skeletal bony abnormalities, so they look disfigured. Bone growth is also disturbed in NF. So I think he was a very sad and tragic figure used as a circus curiosity. But the movie follows his real-life history. He was a very good person. And when people looked beyond his horrendous elephant faces, they found a very good, gentle soul underneath. Mm-hmm. So this is the challenge of NF. If we find early evidence of the disfiguring nodules, modern-day plastic surgery can offer that person some reconstruction. So those things can be treated.
Okay, so if you do in fact carry some of those genes, which can lead to neurofibromatosis, does that it doesn't mean that if you carry the gene you will have the condition?
Yes, you will. But there is a wide range from a few spots to elephant man. So, okay. I don't want people to have a fear factor about it. The other not so great thing about the gene is it's inherited as autosomal dominant, which means that if a parent has it, then the children have a 50% chance of carrying it. But as a stress, you may get the very minor version or the more serious version. Usually it runs true to type. If it's mild in the parent, it tends to be mild in the child. So whatever it is, if we recognize it, then we take steps to monitor for the unwanted nerve growth tumours.
Okay. We're discussing neurofibromatosis with Dr. Lee Moon Keen. If you have a question for her, send it through. The number is 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasodhi. We're discussing neurofibromatosis, which is a genetic disorder whereby you have, it sort of disturbs cell growth in your nervous system. It causes tumours to form on your nerve tissue. Dr. Lee Moon Keen with me. She's a consultant neurologist. Dr. Lee, considering this condition causes tumours to grow anywhere on nerve tissues within the body, are there sites that it most commonly doesn't manifest on?
Well, there are growths that occur on the peripheral nerves, the nerves that run in our arms and legs. So if it occurred in the armpit, say, then one might get numbness and weakness in the hands. Sometimes they appear in the spinal column. And unfortunately, some of them occur in the central nervous system, either affecting the optic nerve or the hearing nerve, the eighth nerve. So the symptoms will relate to whichever nerve is affected.
Okay. And what damage can some of these tumours that grow on nerve tissue, what does it cause? As you said just now, hearing, probably hearing loss.
Hearing, sight. Mm-hmm. And if it's peripheral nerve, you might lose function in the muscle that's affected. So if we were fortunate enough to diagnose early, then one would attempt surgical removal.
Of the
offending tumor.
Tumor, yes. All right. And can you predict the progression, although it's at an early stage? Can you actually tell whether this is going to get a little bit more serious or it's going to progress?
I'm guessing one day we'll be able to tease out which kind of mutation gives you the mild form and which gives you the severe form. But at the moment, we don't have a handle on that. So regular monitoring is the best option. Maybe a yearly review for any new symptoms so that a physician keeps watch on the child or the adult who's showing signs of NF.
If it is a child, does it affect how the child's growing body, for an example?
There are manifestations in the bones. So some children end up with scoliosis where they have curvature of the spine. Mm-hmm. Also sometimes bowing of the legs. Because the bone growth is also disturbed in NF. So that's some of the associated features. Unfortunately, some of the studies report that up to half of the children also have learning disabilities. So one has to look out for that.
There's no link? I mean,
we don't know why it occurs. Mm-hmm. But people with NF seem to have larger brains. So it doesn't mean more is better.
We always thought that. Yes. That larger the brain means you're cleverer.
Maybe there's this uncontrolled nerve tissue growth that's making the brain big, so it's not always a good thing. So if a child had the spots, it would make sense to watch for any learning disability. But I suspect the figure 50% is a bit overinflated. Maybe these are studies of very severe cases in the academic institutions. As I said, there are many average Joes walking around the street with two cafe au lait spots who are perfectly okay.
Who do indeed have neurofibromatosis, but don't know it. Are there complications that it might present? What about the heart, high blood pressure?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. There's an increased incidence of essential hypertension for some reason. The same essential hypertension that normal people get. Then there's the less common hypertension due to malformations in the arteries. Example, narrowing of the kidney artery called the renal artery. You'll end up with renal hypertension. So part of the monitoring includes monitoring blood pressure.
Okay, all right then. And is there anything that caregivers need to be vigilant about? Because as you said, in the early stages, there's really not a lot that you can do except for monitor progressively. Well, every year, is that what
a
you would recommend?
Makes sense.
But what about caregivers?
Well, if it's a child, it's somewhat stigmatizing. One must make efforts to prevent the child from feeling singled out or marked out or laughed at. In fact, there are studies that some of these children may have impaired social skills, so one doesn't know whether it's intrinsic or they're actually pulled down by the abnormal appearance and possible exposure to teasing.
Okay. Does it generally boil down to monitoring and treating the complications and that's it?
Yes, but I think it behooves us, if that person is about to get married, to offer some gentle genetic counselling. It's not something that should stop people from having a child, but they should be very aware of their choices, the odds and the risks of having an affected offspring. But I'm always optimistic with the huge leaps and bounds in genetic research. One day we may be able to find a way to turn off this abnormal cell growth signal, to switch it off. Basically, that's what's wrong.
And when the tumours do arise, and as you said, they're all benign tumours, 10% only could be malignant.
Yes.
But the benign tumours, when you remove them, I mean, will they recur? Do they grow again?
Well, people who have tumours can have them as single or multiple. So yes, they can come back in different places. And the tumours are not always that easy to remove. There's a variant called plexiform neurofibroma where it's got network, tentacles. It's very hard to remove cleanly in those cases.
So then they will grow.
They might grow
again.
Back, yes.
Okay. And does it affect one's life expectancy?
Again, the academic figures indicate there is shortening of lifespan by 8 years. One suspects that's part of the tumours affecting vital areas in the nervous system. But maybe there are social reasons as well, especially if you end up looking like the Elephant Man.
Okay, which is quite rare, really.
He actually tried to commit suicide once or twice.
Well, I don't blame him. I mean, if you look at a picture of him, you know, it is rather... it is quite a frightening thing to look at.
Very distressing.
It is distressing. But as you said, it's not common. You can be having a milder version of the neurofibromatosis as opposed to the Elephant Man on the other end of the scale. How do we all not get paranoid about this, Dr. Lee?
With the knowledge that the vast majority are mild, and if you detect it early, careful monitoring should mitigate against the development of serious problems. And also, I think it's not a bad thing where a condition announces itself with an external marker. So these neurocutaneous syndromes at least give the physician or other people a chance to recognize an internal problem. It's flashing its appearance by the spots and the freckles.
Okay. And do you think health professionals are aware or are fully understanding of this condition, or is it misdiagnosed most of the time?
I know it's so distinctive. It's actually in Dermatology 101. Everybody knows about it.
Oh, okay. All right. That's very interesting. Your message, Dr. Lee, on the whole neurofibromatosis.
Well, it's a not uncommon condition, and if one were to spot the cafe au lait spots or the freckles in the armpit, it makes sense to consult your physician and get further evaluation.
Thank you very much for joining me. That was Dr. Lee Moon King, consultant neurologist on neurofibromatosis on The Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.